Begin the current daf Masechtas Beis daf Yud Ches. Begin 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again the inverse of the case of the previous Mishnah. And that is, there we spoke about the halacha of Erev Tavshilin, where Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbos. Yom Tov is on Friday and Shabbos is the next day regarding cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Now our Mishnah discusses regarding if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, the day after Shabbos, so Shabbos comes before Yom Tov. So Mishnah says, Chal liyos achar Shabbos. If Yom Tov ends up being not before Shabbos, but rather after Shabbos. So we have a machlekes regarding a specific halacha of Tfilas Kalim and Tfilas Adam regarding how a person or a kli can be immersed. And that is, Bisham and Bisham say, Matbilin es hakil. One has to immerse everything that he's going to need, whether it be a person who has to purify himself in the mikvah, or whether it's a vessel has to be purified, they all have to be tivled Malifni HaShabbos. From before Shabbos, and that is as the Gemara says in Masechtas Rishon and Daf Tezayin and Mabez, that a person himself has to be pure on the Yom Tov, as it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra Yadav, of the Blossom Lisego, that one should not touch the dead carcass of an animal, where the Gemara explains over there that's a reference to a regular, because throughout the rest of the year, a person doesn't have to be Tahar if he's not a Kayin, if he's a regular Yisrael. Now, so therefore, he has to go ahead and be tar for the Yom Tov. But the day before Yom Tov, when people are going to the mikveh, is Shabbos. On that Beis Shammai say, therefore, he has to go ahead and immerse himself from before Shabbos, because it's forbidden to tevel on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, this, that, we have to have things that are tahar, both the people and the utensils that they use. On Yom Tov, you have to go ahead and immerse it already on before Shabbos on Friday, and not on Erev Yom Tov, which would be on Shabbos. B'Shilaimim, they argue, they say, Kalim lefnei Shabbos. You're right, utensils have to be immersed from before Shabbos. But a person could go ahead and immerse himself on Shabbos. Now, the reason why Beis Hillel says Shabbos is to say a chiddush, that even on Shabbos, one could go ahead and immerse himself. And the Gemara explains, so then what's the reason why utensils would be forbidden to tevel on Shabbos? What's the difference between a person that he says you're allowed to tevel on Erev Yom Tov, which is on Shabbos, but a kli one is not allowed to? However, the Mishnah tells us, Beshavin, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would agree, if regarding somebody that has good drinking water, but the problem was that it became tummy. Now, and therefore, on Yom Tov, one cannot go ahead and become tummy, so he's not going to be able to drink that water. So on that, they both agree, Shemashikin es hamayim b'kli evin l'taharan, that one could go ahead and make the water come in contact by utilizing a stone vessel to purify that. And that is, what a person does is he takes that good drinking water that became tummy, and he fills it up into a stone utensil. Now, he puts that into a mikvah of water. Now, the problem is that the mikvah water is salty and it's not good drinking water. So what he does is that he puts it in until it just touches the surface of the cup that he's holding in the stone cup. He puts it down and then the mikvah water touches it. Now, it comes out that that's what's called zriya. It's like planting and connecting the mikvah water to the water that the good drinking water that he has in that cup, which becomes butl, becomes part of the mikvah, so to speak, by just touching it. And that makes it tahar. Now, however, that tahar that we're being mitahar beverage doesn't work for all types of food items and beverages. It only works for water, and it doesn't work with the halacha because, like, so to speak, like you're doing tefillah as if you're immersing the water into the mikvah water. Rather, it's a different halacha called zriya. It's like, so to speak, planting it, as the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, on Daf Lamedal Amud Beis. So both of them agree the one could do that on Shabbos and have that water touch, the good drinking water touch the mikvah water. However, as we explained, that they both agree that one cannot go ahead and immerse the actual kli on Shabbos, which the Gemara is going to explain what this case is talking about, that you cannot take a wooden utensil that's tameh, which also needs to have a tefillah, and to do the hashaka, which is this process of having the waters touching each other, so that in that process, then he'll also be tiveling and immersing the kli through this process of hashaka, that they would agree that that wouldn't work. So although they both agree that tefillah is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, and that they both agree has to be done before Shabbos, because it has to be tar for Yom Tov, and therefore one would not even allow to do it in through the process of hashaka, but hashaka itself, which is just the water that's good drinking water that became tamei, to have it have zriya, this process of touching the mikvah waters and thereby becoming batel and part of that, and thereby purified, that they both agree that one would be allowed to do that on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, U'matvilin migav legav, a person is allowed to go ahead and immerse something from one thing to another thing on Yom Tov, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly what does this mean. U'mechabur lechabur, and similarly from one group to another group, and the Gemara again will explain what does that mean if we're saying that one is not allowed to meris kalim on Shabbos or Yom Tov. The only thing that we're allowed to do is this process called hashaka, and that's why the Mishnah says that when you're doing it, it has to be b'kli evan, because a kli evan is not mekabel tuma, in contrast to a kli eitz that was tuma. You're not allowed to do that and purify it by the process of when you're doing hashaka, by when you're dipping in it to purify the waters, and in that process to metara keli, that you're not allowed to do. However, regarding this process of megav legav, chavur lechavur, that you're allowed to immerse the kli. The Gemara explained what are these cases. Now the Gemara comments and says, but the kuli amemias, one thing that we see clearly that everybody agrees to in our Mishnah, both Bishil and Mishamai, that kli b'shabbos loy. Even though Bishil says one is allowed to a person to immerse himself in the mikvah on Shabbos, so he can go erev Yom Tov even though it's Shabbos, but a utensil, everyone agrees you're not allowed to immerse it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Question is, my time, what's the reason? Why is it forbidden to immerse a kli? What are you doing wrong on Shabbos or Yom Tov to do the immersion? So there's four interpretations in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi, the first interpretation, Rabbi says, Gzer, we continue on top of your Tchazim and Alv, Shemit Lenda B'yadah, it's a Gzer D'Rabbanan, it's a decree, that maybe someone's going to come to pick it up, take it in his hand, V'yavarena, Abra Amos, B'shas Rabbi, is going to come to carry it, four Amos in the public domain, from where he is until the mikvah, because since we let him go ahead and immerse it, he might come to carry, and that's forbidden to be done on Shabbos. Now, Amale Abayis, Abayis asked on him, he says, but Yesh Leboy B'chatzei, but if someone has a cistern, has a place of immersion in his courtyard, Samayik Lameimu, what would you say over there? Why is it forbidden to go ahead and immerse in the mikvah because he might come to carry, but here's no such a chashash, no such a concern, so why wouldn't he be able to table such kalim? So Amale, so he responded to him, he says, Gzeira Boy B'chatzei, you're right, it's a decree of even when you have a pit in your courtyard, Atu Boy B'shas Rabim, because of the case when it would only be Mishas Rama, and if we let you do it then you may come to do it when it's in Mishas Rama, and then you're going to come to carry. So and then he continued asking, he said, fine, Hotenach Shabbos, that's very good Shabbos, where I would understand why you say you cannot table a kli on Shabbos because you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. But with Yom Tov, Michael Emeim, what are you going to say about Yom Tov? Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry for Yom Tov purposes, and that this would be a Yom Tov purpose, so why wouldn't you be able to be tabling a kli, to immerse a kli in the mikvah on Yom Tov if you're allowed to carry anyway? So he said to him, you're right, but Gazer Yom Tov at the Shabbos. We made a decree of Yom Tov not to let you immerse on Yom Tov because then you might come to do it on Shabbos, and on Shabbos then you might come to carry. So the Gemara asks, Umi Gazerinan, do we make such decrees? In other words, were the Rabbanan so stringent regarding this takana of not allowing one to immerse the kalim because of if we let you do it when it's permitted, let's say when it's in your courtyard, you might come to do it when it's forbidden, which is when it's in the Shas Rabban? And even more so to make a gzeirah l'gzeirah, to go ahead and say, oh, you know what, and you can't even do it on Yom Tov, which is permitted in all situations, because you might come to do it on Shabbos. So the Gemara lists many different questions where it would seem that the Rabbanan don't make such chashashas. If something's aser, it's aser, but according to you, Tfilas Kalim has so many layers of decrees, why wouldn't we say the same thing in those other cases? And the Gemara will answer all the questions. But Vatanan, we learned in our Mishnah, said, v'shavin, both Bishil and Bishami agree, shemashikin esamayim mekli evan l'tarn. We said that although you're not allowed to table kalim on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but you're allowed to go ahead and do this process of the touching of the water, as long as it's in a kli evan, a vessel that doesn't need to be purified. So the only thing that you're purifying is the water. That you're allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Avalim et filim, but you're not allowed to go ahead and immerse a kli on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, v'i isa, now if you would be correct, you rabba, in the way you're defining this halacha, that tefillas kalim is asur on even Yom Tov, because of maybe Shabbos and maybe you're going to have it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but then nigzer hashaka ata atvala. Then why did we let you do hashaka, which is purifying the water, the good drinking water, and the mikvah water? But if we allow you to do that, then you might do it through the process of, let's say, kli eitz, which then will be purifying a vessel, which that we don't allow. And that's the same thing as what you're saying, that we make gzeris the gzeris, we make and continue this string of concerns. Why in our Mishnah wouldn't we say the same thing? So that the Gemara answers, if it is, bro. The Rabbi said, do you think that's a good question? E isle mayim yofim, if this person has good drinking water, then hani lamalila mevelu lashaka. So why would this person go through the process of going to the mikvah and having his water touch the salt water, which might ruin it a little bit? Why would he do it? Elder Leslie, obviously we're talking about such a person that we're letting you in the Mishnah, everyone agrees to do this process of hashaka, of having the waters touch, is because he doesn't have any other good drinking water. Now, but Kivin de Leslie, now since he doesn't have a whole resource of drinking water, he just has this cup or jug. Now, Mrs. Zarabuhu, so obviously he's going to be careful regarding this water that it shouldn't become tummy. Now, since he's careful with it, if it does become tummy, and that's why he said, oh, my one water became tummy, is going to the mikveh to purify it, that's a milsa l'shchicha. It's not common for such water to become tummy because he knows this is his last cup, his last jug, and therefore the Chum didn't make a gzera, which is a klal throughout, the gzera's rabbanim, which is called milsa l'shchicha l'gozub rabbanim. Something that's not common, the rabban did not make a gzera. So therefore, Rabbi is saying, you're right, your question's a good question. Generally, we would make a string of gezeiros the way I'm saying regarding tefillas kelim. And we would say that if hashakut should also be aser, because then you might come to do it with a kli. But the reason why we didn't make a gezeiros to say that even hashak is aser is because it's not shchich, it's not common for such waters to become tamei, and therefore to say that we're not going to let you purify it, because if this is his only cup or jug and that's why he's immersing it, or else he wouldn't, he would just go ahead and take from his other bottled water and he would wait till after Yom Tov when there's no problem about Tumah. Obviously, it's because this is his only thing and therefore he would definitely would be careful that it shouldn't become Tameh. The fact that it did is a Misle Shchicha, and that's what the Gazab Rabban. So the Gemara continues asking, Eisve, we learned in Abraisa, Madlin, a person could go ahead and lower down water, Bedli Tameh, in a pitcher that's tameh, vuhutar, and then the water, and then it becomes tahar by itself. Now, Rashi quickly asked the question that why is it any different than the case of our Mishnah, where we said that you're not allowed to be taival a kli al gabi meimav, which said that although we're allowed to do this process of hashaka, but you now take a, let's say, a wooden utensil that became tameh and have that do the hashaka with it, thereby purifying the water and the kli. So why does this price say that you could purify the water in the pitcher and in the process have the pitcher become tar too, is for a fundamental difference between the two cases, is that that case, when in our Mishnah, the person's only coming to his intention, his whole purpose is to be mitar both the water and the kli. So therefore it's obvious that what he's doing is a process of tefillah, of immersing, and that is tefillah's asur to do because it looks like that you're fixing something. Now, and that therefore that would be visible in the case of when you're using a wooden utensil, and that's why it's aser. But in this case of this brisa, not everybody knows that the pitcher is tameh, and whoever sees that he's putting down the pitcher of the water into the cistern was saying, oh, he's just coming to draw water, that's what he needs it for. They wouldn't know that what his intention is for, and therefore you're allowed to go ahead and draw water with this pitcher that's tameh, because there's nothing obvious about it. There's no merci, there's nothing that it's going to seem like that you're doing something wrong. The whole reason was that in our Mishnah is because it's pretty obvious if you're doing a tefillah for the water, and now you're doing the wooden one, so that the wooden utensil, so that's showing that it's a tefillah, and like you're fixing something, but here where you're just coming to draw water, and there just happens to be a tameh utensil, in that process, when it's going down, that will be the tefillah for it, and that will make it tar. Now, however, be that as it may, the Gemara is asking the following question. Now, v'i'isa, if it's like Rabba that we make these strings of gzeiras, so nigzer dilma asu latvula b'yene, so we should make a gzeira that if we let you go ahead and draw water, and in the process using a tamei kli, and then becoming tamei tahar, because it's being immersed at the same time, so then we should say that, well, we shouldn't let you do that, because then you might come to do it even without drawing water. And that would be straightforward a tefillah, which is asr. You're not allowed to go ahead and just tevil a kli on Yom Tov, but if we let you do it with drawing the water, you might do it without. Just like you say, Rabbi, that we make this whole string of gezeiros regarding tefillas kelim. So then the Gemara says, again, that you're right, but the Shani Hasam, there it's different why we didn't extend the gezeiros to drawing when, to tevilling the kli, the dli, when you're drawing water. And that is, mitoich shlehutruloi, since this person, it was not permitted for him to tevil, to immerse his dli, his pitcher, only through this process of drawing the water, which is not the normative way of tevilling a kli. Usually just go ahead and put it in the basket, dip it in, and you take it out. Here, it's only through the process of drawing the water that we permitted it to him. So zachuhu, so thereby, that exactly is what's going to remind him that tevilah of a kli is also to be done in Yom Tov, and therefore there is no such a chashash to say, wait, if we let you do this, you might do that, you might do that. You're right, normally we'd say that, like by tefillas kelim. But here, intrinsic to what we're letting you do, that reminds you that the regular way is not permitted, and that's why it's only this way, and therefore there's no concern that you might come to do it in the regular way, and that's why we didn't make that gzeira, even in the case of when you're drawing the water, that you might come to do it without the drawing of the water. So Esau the Gemara continues to ask on Rabbi's interpretation. Learn the Braisa. Regarding a utensil that became tummy from before Yom Tov, and as Rashi explains, as the Gemara later on will compare with another braisa, so we're talking about an avhat tumah. So such a kli ain't matpil noisa b'yamtib. You're not allowed to go ahead and tovel it on yamtib, since he could have tovel it from before yamtib. So therefore, this that he didn't do before yamtib, it's too late. You can't tovel it on yamtib. However, b'yamtib, if it became tummy on yamtib, then matpil noisa b'yamtib. Then one is allowed to tovel that kli on yamtib, and you can use it today, although it didn't have hair of shemesh, it didn't have sundown, but you can use it for chulin, which doesn't require hair of shemesh. That's the halacha of that price. Now again, the Gemara asks, Vim Isa, we hold like Rabbo, which continues the strings of Gezeros. So Nigzer the Yamtiv, Atu the Arab Yamtiv. Why do we let if it became Tamay Yamtiv? But you should say then, if we let you, if we're going to see people are tabling, oh, people are going to the mikvah, tabling Kalim on Yamtiv, we might come to do it even for Kalim that became Tamay and Arab Yamtiv, which is prohibited. So why don't we say that if we let you that, you might come to do that too, and therefore even that should be Asr. So that the Gemara answers again, Tema be Yamtiv, Milsad Lo Shchichihi. Regarding tuma, something contracting tuma on yamtiv is not common because, as we said, that everyone becomes tahar for the yamtiv, and therefore everyone's careful not to become tama and yamtiv. And this that something actually became tama and yamtiv is not common. And as we mentioned before, this klal musud leshchicha legazer rabban is something that's not common. The rabban did not make gzera. So although you're right, within the realm of Gezeris Rabbanan, it would extend even to if it became Tama Yamtiv, because that then you might come to do it if it became Tama before Yamtiv. But since it's not common, rabbinic injunctions do not extend to things that are not common, that was not included in their umbrella. And therefore, since something becoming Tama Yamtiv is not common, therefore it's not included in the Gezeris, and that's why you're allowed to go ahead and title it on Yamtiv. So the Gemara continues asking, Esau, we learned another brisa. And this one we had referenced before regarding the similar case. Kli shenitma ba'ava tuma. Regarding a vessel that became tummy from an ava tuma, which is a source of a tuma, let's say like a sheretz or something that touched a dead person, which, as Rashi mentions, as we mentioned in the prior brisa, that's talking about that it became tummy from before yamtiv. So ein matbil noisa b'yamtiv. Then you're not allowed to table it on yamtiv. Now the reason is because since it's tummy min hatari, it's biblical tuma. So then it's like misakin. It's like you're fixing something. So you're not allowed to go ahead and table it. However, bivlana tuma, if it became Tameh from just what's called a Rishon Tumah, which is, the Vlad means a child, it's a derivative from an Av, which is called the father, it's the next level of Tumah, then Matpil Nesib Yamtiv, then one is allowed to go ahead and immerse it on Yamtiv. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Remis, if you hold it, Graba, Senigzer Ha, Atu Ha, then we should say, wait, even if it became Tumah with a Vlad Tumah, we shouldn't let you table that on Yamtiv, because then you might come to do it if it became Tumah from an Av Tumah, which is forbidden. And therefore we should extend the Xeris, the Chashashas, like Rabba does. So that the Gemara answers that no. Here it's different because Vlad HaTumah. Regarding this case, which we're telling you that if it became Tumah from a Vlad HaTumah, that you're allowed to go ahead and tovel that on Yamtiv. There is no tikkun, you're not really doing anything for such a utensil that became Tumah from a Rishon. Because Min HaTorah, actually such a Kli is considered totally Tahar. Because a Kli cannot become Tumah only from an Ava Tumah, which then makes it, if let's say a Sheretz touches a Kli, that makes the Kli into a Rishon, as the Gemara learns elsewhere in the Braisa, that regarding when there's a source of Tumah in a Kli Cheres, that the food items and the beverages, they become Tumah from the ear space of the Kli Cheres, but other Kalim that are inside the Kli Cheres do not become Tumah, because what it is that it's of the Kli Cheres is an Avlad HaTumah. Therefore, what makes inside of it becomes Tameh is going to make it into a Sheni. Now, food items and beverages could become. But let's say if there's a Sheretz in the ear space of a Kli Cheres, which is an Ava Tumah, the Kli Cheres becomes a Rishon. Now, anything that wants to become Tameh from that, being in the ear space of the Kli Cheres, will be a Sheni. So food items and beverages, yes. But other Kalim cannot. And therefore, the Gemara says, so Heich Mishkachasla. So who would we find that would even want to be immersing a Kli on Yamtiv that became Tameh from a Vlad HaTumah? Who would have to tivel if we just said that biblically that a Kli that's so to speak becoming a Sheni because it became Tameh from a Rishon, where would we need to tivel even such a thing? It's considered Tahar on biblical law. That would only apply Gabi Kahanim, it would only be by a Kayin, because as we explained before, Vlad HaTumah, which means to say, let's say somebody touched an Av, which let's say is like a Sheretz, that's a Rishon. Now, a utensil that touches, which is the case that we're talking about, on Erev Yomtiv, from a Vlad, becomes a Sheni, is totally permitted for Chulin for Yisrael. Now, because a Sheni cannot make a Shlishi of Chulin. So the only thing that you would have to tivel it would be if, let's say, it's for Truma purposes. where that is applicable by Truma, which we were machmer and said that it is going to be a halacha of a shlishi. No, so if it's only going to be applying to Kahanim, so Kahanim Zrizim Haim, Kahanim are diligent, they're very careful, and therefore, Rashi gives two interpretations why here we did not extend the Gezerah. Either because they're not going to come to permit an Avatama, they'll be able to differentiate, although generally we would extend because people are going to say, hey, if we could do that, we could do that. So therefore, we should even say that it's usher to merce a Kli became Tummy from a Vladatama because an Avatama. That we're not going to say, because Kahanim is reasoning. They'll know the difference between the two, and they're not going to come to say if we could immerse a Kli that became Tummy from a Vlada Tummy, which means to say that the Kli is a Sheini, that we're going to even do it when it's a Rishon, because it came from an Avatama on Yom Tov, they'll make the difference. Or because they're careful, there's reason that Tummy should not come to their utensils. And therefore, if it does become Tummy and they're immersing it, then that means it's a Mitzvah Shchicha, because Kahanim, they generally are very wary of Tummy and they stay very far away. And therefore, since it's only applicable for Kahanim, this heter of immersing a Kli that became Tumah from a Vlada Tumah on Erev Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, would only apply to Kahanim, and Kahanim are his reason, and therefore, either it's not common, or they'll be careful, and that's why we don't extend the Gezerah. So again, Rabbah's Pshat is still standing regarding this, that Tefillas Kelim is Aser because we extend the Gezerah, because all these brises that we're asking from, or our Mishnah, have different reasons why we don't extend it. But generally, we would extend it. So I'm going to say, Toshima, come in here, the Amr of Chia Barashi Amr Rab. Rab said the following halacha. Nida she'ein la begadim. Regarding a woman that had the tumah of Nida that was menstruating, that doesn't have any pure garments to change into after she immerses herself, which she's wants to become tahar, and if she's immersing herself, but her garments that she's wearing now in their state of Nida are tummy. Now, today's Yom Tov, and she can't go ahead and be tivel her garments that she's wearing. So what does she do? Because she has to put on garments after, but she can't put on the garments she's wearing before because they're tummy. So ma'aremes v'tevela, she uses subterfuge. What she does is she immerses in the mikvah when she's wearing bibugdeha. In other words, she goes in the mikvah, which she's allowed to do on Yom Tov, and she does it with her garments, which now that tefila that she's doing will work for her garments that she's wearing too. Now, it's not obvious that she's fixing the garments, which is forbidden to do on Yom Tov, because she's going into the mikvah because for her own tefillah. And a person is allowed to tevel on Yom Tov, as the Gemara will later on explain, like Basil, because it looks like that they're just cooling off. So the person's allowed to, and they're just going with their clothing, and therefore it's not obvious that the clothing is being done for Tahara. That was Rav's halacha. Now, on that, the Gemara asked, V'im is, and if we hold like Rabbah, what do you mean? We should extend the Gzerah. Nigzer dilma asilit vulebenayu. If we let you go ahead and purify your kalim, your garments, by way of just the person themselves purifying themselves, which they're allowed to go into the water because it's near a kamaker, but then we might come to go ahead and just immerse the kalim without the person, and therefore we should extend the gzera. How does Rav let the person go ahead and immerse their kalim through their bodies themselves if we should extend it? So then the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, there it's different, similar to like we said before. Since the only way we let her, she has these garments and she doesn't know what to do because she doesn't have any other garments to wear that are tahar. And now since the only way we let her to do it is by herself when she goes to Taibla, she has to go with her clothing on. So then zchurihi, what do you mean? She'll remember. That's exactly as we said before, intrinsic into what we let you do reminds you what you're not allowed to do, because wait, why am I going to Taibla with my clothing on? Oh, obviously because I need the clothing and I can't go ahead and Taibla it, so therefore we're not going to say that then you might come to immerse it by themselves if the only way we let you is by wearing it. So therefore again, we have resolved all the questions on Rabbah's interpretation, which was the first interpretation in our Mishnah. Why are we not allowed to toivel kalim neither on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Because of the ultimate chashash, which goes through a string of gzeres, that one might come to carry the kli in Rosh Hashanah, which is forbidden to be done on Shabbos if the bar is going to be in Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar, he says, a second interpretation in our Mishnah, why immersing kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tov is asr. He says it's a gzeira mishum schita. It's a concern because of squeezing out garments, which are also included in kalim, and that's usher because of malabin. So since you now go ahead and launder things on Yom Tov, and that's on Shabbos, and that's a malacha deiraisa, which schita is part of that. So therefore, we don't let you immerse things because then you might come to wring it out. Now that the Gemara asks, Abaya, so it says Tenach Kelim Neschitin, and very good if it's talking about the types of utensils which are things that could be wringed out like garments. But kelim delav bnei schita nenu mayik alameim. But regarding the utensils that are not schita types of things, a bowl, a spoon, these are things that are not squeezable. So why would that be usher to be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov if there's no concern of schita? So Amalei, so he said to him, you're right, but gzerahani, otahani, we didn't let you table things that are not squeezable because of things that are squeezable, and then you might come to do schita. And that the Gemara says that Esvei Kalhani to you. If the Abaye asked him all these questions that he asked on Rabbah, where we see that we don't make gzeris upon gzeris, Vishan le kedishaninan, and the Gemara answered, as all the answers had said, that yes, we generally do make a concern for a concern, as Rabbi Yisrael was saying, like Rabbah, but those are different reasons. Is because it's mitzvah l'shchicha, or because intrinsic that they remind you that this is something that you're not going to do. But however, the actual concept that we would make a gzera l'gzera are things that we generally do in these types of situations. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Biyamar, he says a third interpretation in the reason of our Mishnah's Isra of Tevelin Kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. He says it's a gzera that if we let you table the Kelim on Yom Tov, Shema Yasha, then you might postpone, you might hold on to the utensils up until Yom Tov, which then people have time, people are busy. Yom Tov, people have a leisure time. Now, then what might happen is that you might come to a takol, you might come to problems because you're going to hold on to this Tamei Keli, saying, oh, wait a second, I don't have time to go to the mikvah to tevel it. You know, I'll wait till Yom Tov, and Yom Tov you're allowed to. And then, in the interim, you might come to use of a truma, and therefore, we don't want to let you do it on Yom Tov, and thereby you'll have to do it now, and then you're not going to hold on to it, and having a Tamei Keli with your usage of truma. As the Gemara says, Tanya Kavaseidu Rabibi, we have a braisa that says like Rabibi, that says, Klish Nitma Be'er Yom Tov, a vessel that became Tamei from before Yom Tov, Ein Matbil Nesiv Yom Tov, you now table it on Yom Tov, and the reason is, Gzeir Shem Yasha, because it's a decree, you might hold on to it. If you let you do it on Yom Tov, you'll say, oh, Yom Tov is a great time to do it, but now Yom Tov is in 3 months from now, but you know what? I have no time for that. But it's going to be laying around the house and he's going to use it for his truma, which you're not allowed to use it with a kli tame. So we said, you know what, you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tov, and therefore you're not going to have that option, and therefore you'll do it in its proper time and not come to this problem. Rava Amar, Rava says, a fourth interpretation in the reason of our Mishnah. He says, M'nei shenira kimasakin kli, because it looks like that you're fixing a utensil, and therefore it's similar to the fixing of a malach, which the Rabbanan made a decree, which, as the Melacha Deraisa of Mesakan Mono, of Makabe Patash, you now fix things to finish things up. Therefore, this looks like that, because you weren't able to use it until you immersed it. Now that you immersed it, you can use it. So that's the Gzer Rabbanan, that it looks like you're fixing something, and that's why you now do that on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That the Gemara asks, according to this interpretation of Rava, Ihachi Adam Nami, then the person also was impure up until now. He was deficient, something was wrong, and now that he immersed, is tar, so that also should be like fixing, and that should also be prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That the Gemara says, no, Adam Nirika Maker. This doesn't look like you're fixing something, because actually a person looks like he's just cooling off, and therefore since it's not, it doesn't have that seeming appearance to like you're fixing something, so there's no reason to make a gzeir d'rabbanan that you might come to actually do a tikkun malacha, only by a kli, which it looks like you're fixing something, where then we're going to say it's asr, because why else are you dipping it in? But a person could say, oh, I'm just dipping to cool off, and therefore it's not obvious to say that, make a gzeir d'rabbanan that you might come to do a tikkun malacha. Now, I'm at the Gemara asked, but that's only good, hotein nechmaim yafim. If the mikveh is good swimming water, where that's normative for people to bathe in, so I can understand that such a mikveh, someone would be allowed to go on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because it's not obvious that you're going to table to immerse yourself to become tar. Maybe you're just enjoying it. But mayim ro'im mayik lemeim, what are you going to say about putrid water? What are you going to say about water that's not good, where people don't go to just cool off and enjoy themselves? And therefore, it would seem like that you're going ahead because you're going to the mikveh, which is prohibited because it looks like you're fixing something. So that Amr of Nachum Yitzchak says no, because Pam Sha'adim Ba, sometimes it could be that a person comes, and we continue on to Amid Beis, Bisharav, that it's in hot weather, Verichitz Afil B'mei Misha, and he would bathe himself even in water that they soak flax in because he just wants to cool off, and it doesn't make a difference even if it's Mayim Raim, and therefore it's not obvious that you're doing it for Tefillah in the Mikvah, maybe you just want to cool off. Now the Gemara asks, okay, Tenech B'mei Sacham, that's very good in the summer months, where it's a hot Yom Tov or Shabbos, and you want to just cool off. You'll do it even if it's not a good, enjoyable mikvah water, but it's just cool. But it's like, Sham Mayik Lameim, what are you going to say about the winter? Who's going into Mayim Raim, bad waters, in the winter, into a cold mikvah? Obviously, you're only doing it because you're coming to retire yourself. That looks like that you're fixing you, and that would be a problem, because that looks like tikkun malacha. So Amar Rav Nachbitzli says, no, even during the winter, Sometimes somebody comes from the fields and he's all dirty with mud and with excrement. And he would wash himself off, even in bad waters, even in cold waters, even during the winter. And therefore, it's not obvious that you're doing it to purify yourself. And since it's not obvious, it's not nirika tikkun malacha, that's why a person is allowed to, but a kli doesn't have all these things about cooling off and about enjoying the bathing. And therefore, it's obvious it's doing for a tikkun, and that's why you're not allowed to table a kli on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but a person is allowed to. Now, the Gemara asks, tenech b'Shabbos. So we can understand this interpretation regarding on Shabbos, that it could be the person's cooling off or the person's enjoying the bathing. But regarding Yom Kippur, where it's forbidden to bathe because of one of the chamish inuyim of the afflictions, but a person is allowed to do a tefillas mitzvah, as the Gemara later will explain, you're allowed to immerse in the mikveh if you're coming to purify yourself. But ma'iklamema, what are you going to say? That's obvious that why you are immersing yourself in the mikveh is to for tefillah purposes and not to cool off, because to cool off is forbidden to be done on Yom Kippur. I mean, I'll go take a leisure bath on Yom Kippur, so it's obvious that you're doing it, which is the only permitted way, is for tefillah. Now that looks like ketikin malacha, so why is that permitted to be done on Yom Kippur? So Amar Rava, Rava says, really you're right, but mi'ikamidi, is it possible for there to be such a thing that there's a malacha, to be Shabbos Shari, that on Shabbos we say it's permitted, and that we don't make it isadra abundan because it looks like a malacha? Now the reason why we on Shabbos is because it looks like you're maker, like you're just enjoying yourself. Will be a mikipurim aster, and that on Yom Kippur we should say it's forbidden because of malacha. Like in this case, that we want to say that, oh, because on Yom Kippur it looks like misakin, because you're going to fix yourself because there's no other reason why you're doing it. And that is what Rav is saying, is that we can't say such a thing. Shabbos is more chamer, Yom Kippur is not. And therefore, if on Shabbos we're saying something is mutter for the reasons that there be over there, then even though Yom Kippur doesn't have those reasons, it doesn't make sense to say that we're going to be more machmer Yom Kippurim than Shabbos. Rather, since on Shabbos, which is more stringent in halachas of malacha, Shari we say it's permitted, as we said, because of the concept of maker. It looks like you're just enjoying yourself and you're cooling off. It's not obvious that it's because of that you're fixing yourself for tefillah. So therefore, Yom Kippurim nami Shari. So therefore, by default, we have to say that Yom Kippurim is also going to be permitted. Now, although Yom Kippur, you don't have the svara of nirik maker, but we can't be more stringent regarding the principles of malacha and Yom Kippurim than on Shabbos to say that we'll make a gzer drabban over there, where if we're not doing it by Shabbos, we're not going to do it by Yom Kippurim. Now, on this answer of the Gemara asks, "Umi isli l'Rava Hoyle, does really Rava hold of this concept that he just said of Hoyle, that since, and that is since on Shabbos, we're going to say that it's permitted, so therefore on Yom Kippurim, we're not going to be able to say that it's going to be aser." And that's based on hoyel, that's since, because the actual concept doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. But we say since here it's permitted, so here we're not going to be able to say that it's going to be forbidden. Does Rava really hold to this, that what he just answered in the Gemara? But Vatnan, we learn in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that based on a certain contradiction, on Rava's answer of that contradiction, it seems like that he does not hold to this principle of hoyel, that since here it's permitted, then must be it's uniform, and here it's also going to be permitted. But no, wherever it applies, it applies. Wherever it doesn't, it doesn't. So therefore, it would seem that Shabbos should be permitted, but Yom Kippur should be forbidden. As we find, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos says, Hacheshesh Peshinim. Someone has, his tooth is bothering him, he has a toothache. Lo yigama behenes achemetz. He's not allowed to sip vinegar, which would be healing, would be medicinal, would take away the pain of his toothache. And the reason is because any refuah on Shabbos, something that's healing, and even if it's not intrinsically healing, but it's numbing, it takes away the pain, which is considered refuah, the Rabbanim made a gzeri because of what's called shchika samemonim, that one might come to grind the herbs, which are necessary for the medicine, for the therapeutic healing, which is av malacha, of teichen, of grinding. And therefore we said, like any medicine you'll take, because then you might come to grind, which is the av malacha of teichen. So therefore you're not allowed to sip the vinegar, which is refuah, which is healing. Aval, however, the Mishnah says, mitavalhu, he could dip his food, kedarkei, as the normal way, into the vinegar, which is could be used as a dip, as a dressing. Then this rabbi, as he's eating, now that he's dipping it into vinegar, if it gets healed, he gets healed, but to take it directly and sip it, which is refuah directly, that's going to be forbidden. Now, for Amin Allah, we had asked a contradiction on that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. There's a brayse that says, lo yigama upaylet. A person is not allowed to sip the vinegar and then spit it out, because that's obvious why you're doing that. You're doing it for refuah, because what are you doing? You're spitting it out. Obviously, you're not consuming it. Av magama ubayleya, but the brayse says, but you're allowed to sip and swallow, because maybe you're just enjoying the vinegar. And since you're drinking it, that's permitted. Now, that seems to contradict the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, that says you're not allowed to sip. You're allowed to just dip your food and then eat it that way, which sounds like that even sipping and swallowing is forbidden. So that's a contradiction. Is sipping and swallowing permitted, or is it aser? Now on that, Vama Abaye Abaye had said to resolve the contradiction, he says, Kitna nam masnitin. You're right. The case of the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos was also Megama Upay Latanan. When it says that it's forbidden to be Megama, to sip the vinegar, it was only talking about sipping and spitting out. But really, the Mishnah would agree to the price regarding sipping and swallowing, that would be permitted. That was Abaye's resolution. Now, Rava Amar, and this is Rava's interpretation of the resolution, which we're going to use to ask on what Rava said here in our Gemara. He said, Afalotema Megama Ubeileh. He said that the case of the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that was told about that it's forbidden to sip is even to sip and to swallow. But v'lo kasha, it's not a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, where the Braisa says that it's permitted to swallow. Because Khan, the Braisa that said it's permitted to sip and to swallow, was Kedim Tibul. Now Tibul was a term used in the Gemara for eating, because they would generally dip as they ate. So in other words, the Braisa that's permitted was before the eating. That then you're allowed to sip and swallow, because then it's not obvious that it's being done for refuah, for healing purposes, because they actually thought that consuming the vinegar before you eat your meal whets the appetite and gets you into the eating. So since that's not obvious that you're doing for refuah, maybe you're just doing it to get into it. So only things that are clearly, overtly refuah, those are things that are forbidden. Things that are not obvious, let's say drinking a warm tea, which is not obvious for refuah, although it's going to heal your sore throat, that's allowed to be done, which is similar to the case over here when you're sipping the vinegar and swallowing it beforehand. Maybe it's just getting you into the meal. Khan, however, the case of the Mishnah says that it's usher to even swip and swallow was la'achar tibul, was talking about after you finished eating. And then, therefore, if someone's going to be sipping his vinegar after the meal, well, that's obvious that you're doing it for refuah, because no one's going to go ahead and sip vinegar after you finish your meal. It's only to get you into it. But once you're done, it's obvious for refuah, and therefore that's going to be asur. So therefore, that's how Rava resolves the contradiction. Now, the Gemara's question is, now, why is it like this, the way Rava said, that if before one eats the Shabbos meal, then Rava says, that's what the case of the Bryce is talking about, that then it's permitted. So what comes out is that you have half a Shabbos that's forbidden to sip vinegar for your toothache and swallow, which is after you finish the meal. And half Shabbos is permitted, which is before the meal, that maybe you're sipping and swallowing it because of you just getting into the meal. Now, v'im isa, and if it was true that Rava held of the principle of hayil, that things have to be uniform. Like it says regarding Shabbos and Yom Kippurim, that although Yom Kippur is lesser than Shabbos, now, and although the reason of Shabbos, of that it looks like Kemaker, doesn't apply to Yom Kippur, but Hoyle, that since we say Shabbos is permitted, so Yom Kippur is going to be permitted. But if so, Neima Hoyle v'koidim tibul, so we should say the same principle over here also, that say since before the eating of the Shabbos meal, Shari, you said that he's allowed to go ahead and sip and swallow, because that looks like he just wants to enjoy the vinegar to get himself into the meal. So the achar tibul nami Shari, then even after he eats the meal, should also be permitted, because we also cannot differentiate. You should say hoyel, that since here it's permitted, how can you say here it's forbidden? Just like we say with Shabbos Yom Kippurim. So if Rabbi holds up hoyel, then how could he say that resolution of that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos and the Braisa? So that the Gemara answers, hodebe Rabbi Mahi. Really, Rabbi holds the way he says in our Gemara. But Rava ultimately retracted from that resolution that he gave over there regarding the vinegar, and he ultimately ended answering, like Abaya, that the Mishnah agrees to the Braisa when it says that you're not allowed to sip, it meant to sip and spit out, but to sip and swallow, the Mishnah in Shabbos agrees to that Braisa. Now, however, regarding this case that we're talking about in our Gemara of Tvila, where there he does hold of Hoyle, that was told about after he retracted. After there in that Gemara, you're right, he wasn't saying Hoyle, because obviously he said that half a Shabbos permitted, half a Shabbos not. He retracted from that, and then he came to what he says here in our Gemara, which he said later, which is told about that, no, we say Hoyle, we don't say half could be like this and half like that. And therefore, since Shabbos permitted, Yom Kippur will also be permitted. Now, that the Gemara asks, although we said that the two contradict each other, these two interpretations of Rava, one he's saying half-half, which is not Hoyle, the other one he says, no, it has to be uniform, which is Hoyle. But on that, the Gemara asks, how do you know that case over there, Masechta Shabbos, that was first, and that he retracted and then later said what he says in our Gemara? Dilma Maha, when it may be from the case in our Gemara of Tavilling on Yom Kippur, where he said it's permitted, maybe that Hadubay, maybe that he retracted, and then he ended up saying that it's usser, and the case of vinegar, that came last, where he said that, no, you don't say hail. How do we know it was the other way around? But the Gemara says, Lois Lakadayat, because you cannot entertain such a thought to say that Rava would hold, not like the way he says now Gemara, that it would be forbidden to Tevel on Yom Kippurim. And the reason why we said that you are allowed to is obviously based on the principle of Hayil. Because the time that we learned the Braisa says clearly that one is allowed to immerse on Yom Kippurim. Kol Chayiv Tevel is Tevel and Kedarkin. All those who have obligations to immerse themselves for mitzvah purposes are allowed to Tevel in their normal way. Bein Tisha B'Av, Bein Yom Kippurim, whether it's Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippurim, which generally is forbidden for one to bathe on. Now, obviously, although that you're allowed to go ahead and there's no problem about the Yinuim Yom Kippurim or Tisha B'Av, but there's another concern of that it looks like that you're fixing something from the fact that we say that you could still Tevel on Yom Kippurim must be, like Rava said, based on the principle of Hayil, and that's why it must be that he had retracted from the other one, and they ended up saying that you're right, that it must be like Abai, you can't split up Shabbos half and half, based on the principle of Hayil. This concludes the Gemara's discussion regarding the four interpretations about why our Mishnah says that Tfilas Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tiv are forbidden. Now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah that said, V'shavin shemashikin nesamayim b'kli evin b'chulu. However, both of them agree, although they say that one is not allowed to table a kli on Shabbos and Yom Tiv, as we just gave the reasons in the Gemara, the four reasons. However, one is allowed to go ahead and do this process of having the waters of the cup, of the clean waters that became tameh, of touching the waters of the mikveh, thereby doing zriya, that it becomes connected, it becomes part of the mikveh waters, and thereby purified. However, the Mishnah said that, but you're not allowed to tevel, loy matvilin, and I'll go ahead and immerse the kli through that process, which the Gemara asks, my avaloy matvilin. What does the Gemara then say, however, one cannot be tevel? We're saying you could do hashaka, but loy matvilin. So then Amar Shmuel explains, it means ein matbilin esakli, like we alluded to this in the Mishnah, that we cannot immerse the utensil that also needs to be purified through tefillah al gav meimah. In other words, in this process, when you're doing hashaka, you have a cup of water that was good drinking water that became tameh. Now, you can't drink it on Yom Tov because one has to stay tahar on Yom Tov. So you go to the mikveh to purify that water. Now, that water is salted water, can't drink because you have it just touching. Now, if the cup that you want to transport it in and do the immersion in is itself tameh, and, oh, let me kill two birds with one stone. I'm not allowed to table a cup, but you know what? If I'm allowed to do the hashaka, let me use a tameh one, and in that process, table that. That's what the Mishnah is telling us, that you can't do that al-gav meimav in that process, latar b'yamtiv, to immerse it in yamtiv. Although we said in the other case, in Amen Alf, in that price, that was different. That was because that was only through the process of drawing the water, where it's not obvious that you're doing the process of tefillah. Now, that the Gemara asks, if that's the two halachas of our Mishnah, so mani masnitin, who is our Mishnah? As the Gemara says, loy Rebbe v'le Rabbanan, it can't be neither like Rebbe, or like the Rabbanan, the time like Lina Braisa, where we find there machlekes, that it sounds like that each one is the extreme, and none of them have this disparity of the allowing hashaka, but not allowing to do the tefillah of the kelim through that hashaka. As we learn in the Braisa, the Tanya, ein matbil nesa kli al gav meimav latari. We're not allowed to go ahead and immerse a kli through the process of the water to purify it. And you know what? Ve'ema shikin nesamayim kli evan latarin. And you can't even do the water itself. You can't do the process of hashaka, even in a stone vessel, which does not become tameh, to purify the water. Divi Rebbe. That's the opinion of Rebbe. The chamayim, they say to the other extreme. They say, matbilin kli agav meima latari. You're allowed to even purify a vessel through the process of the water itself when you're doing the hashaka, and you're also allowed to do the hashaka of the water itself. So the Gemara asks, Mani, who is the town of our Mishnah? E Rabbi, if it's Rabbi, then kash hashaka. Then we have a difficulty with the case of the touchings of the waters, because Rabbi says it's forbidden, and our Mishnah says that mashikin, that you are allowed to do hashaka. And E Rabbanan, kash hatfala. If the town of our Mishnah is the Rabbanan, so then it's difficult the case of immersing the kli, where the Rabbanan say you're permitted to do that, and our Mishnah says that ain't matpil, you can't go ahead and in the process of Ashaka purify the Kli. So who's the town of our Mishnah? So that the Gemara says, Ibaisei Rebbe, Ibaisei Rabbanan. If you want, you could say actually the town of our Mishnah is Rebbe, or if you want, you could say the town of our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan. As the Gemara explains, Ibaisei Rebbe, if you want, you could say the town of our Mishnah is Rebbe, because Reisha de Braisa, the beginning of the Braisa we just quoted, which means to say the first part of Rebbe's statement, where he says that tiveling it al gava meimav, that immersing the kli in the process of hashaka, that's forbidden, but which that statement sounds like, but hashaka itself is permitted, that was talking about biyamtiv, on yamtiv. Now, the sefer, however, the second sentence of Rebbe's statement, where he says that even Hashaka is forbidden, that was talking about B'Shabbos, that was talking about on Shabbos, where we're splitting up the sentences, where actually the way they order their statements actually sounds like that, which the first part of a statement is talking about on Yom Tov, and the second statement, which is talking about the Hashaka, is talking about Shabbos. Now, actually, the same thing would apply to the Rabbanan too, that the first half of their statement would be talking about Yom Tov, and the second half of the statement would be talking about Shabbos. And what their statement was when they said that Matfilin Kli Al Gav Meimav L'Taharoi, that you're allowed to go ahead and immerse the Kli when you're doing the process of Hashaka, that's talking about on Yom Tov, and most definitely, therefore, you're allowed to do Hashaka. Now, the second half of their statement, which one would wonder why he's saying that, if you already said that you're allowed to do it even for the Kli Al-Gavi, through the Hashaka, which that's what the Gemara has explained now. Actually, the second part of the statement of being able to be Mashikin Esamayim Kli Evan, of doing Hashaka itself, which with a stone utensil, which is not purifying the utensil, that was talking about on Shabbos, where only on Shabbos Hashaka is permitted, but Atfol is not allowed to be done. And as Rashi says, actually, Tosefta Masechta Tzpeah, Masechta Shabbos, explicitly learns that that's the understanding of the Machlekes of Rebbe and Rabbanu. And therefore, that would be Rebbe's statement, V'kula Masnitin, however, the entire Mishnah, which only permits, our Mishnah, which only permits Hashaka, would be told Marei Yom Tov, and therefore that's exactly like Rebbe's statement, where Rebbe's saying that the Hatvala is forbidden. That was talking about meaning to do the Kli through the Hashaka. That was on Yom Tov, but that sounds like Hashaka is permitted. So we say Hashaka is permitted on Yom Tov, which is exactly like our Mishnah, that only Hashaka is permitted, but to be matzal the Kli through that is forbidden. Now, when he says in the second statement that even Hashaka is forbidden, that was on Shabbos, which our Mishnah would agree that Hashaka, even Hashaka on Shabbos, would be forbidden because our Mishnah is only talking about Yom Tov. But now the Gemara says that that's the way we interpreted the Braisa, so therefore, we continue at the top of your Tesef and Aleph, V'Yibay Seima, if you want, you could even say the Rabbanan, the town of our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, V'Kula Masnin B'Shabbos, as we said, actually, the entire Mishnah is not like the way, if we want to resolve it like Rebbe, on Yom Tov, but actually, our entire Mishnah is not on Yom Tov, but actually on Shabbos, and therefore, Hatvala is Aser, and Hashaka is permitted like the Rabbanan, that they said, that when they said Mashikin the Samayim B'Kliyevin L'Tarim, that you could do Hashaka in a stone utensil, that was on Shabbos. Because regarding Yom Tov, they could say you could even do the Kli through the Hashaka, which our Mishnah would agree to. Because our Mishnah is talking about only on Shabbos that it's forbidden to do the process of Hatvala. But Hashaka is permitted because it's only the Hatvala's Kelim to do the Keli through the Hashaka, that's forbidden. And therefore, we can really say that our Mishnah is both like Rebbe or like Rabbanan. If it's like Rebbe, then our Mishnah is talking about Yom Tov, and therefore, that's what only Hashaka is permitted in Hatvala's Aser. Or it's like Rabbanan, who are actually on Yom Tov, you could even do the Keli through the Hashaka. But our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, where only then on Shabbos do we say that Hashaka is permitted, but Hatvala to do the Keli through the Hashaka, that would be forbidden.